The Community Connection on the way next, brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Well, spending a little bit of time as we do on the first Friday of each month talking county government and via the telephone, spending time this morning with County Assessor Todd Mathis. First of all, Todd, thanks for calling in. I understand you're on vacation officially, but still doing a little bit of radio talk for us this morning. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Charlie. And as we all know, elected officials really are never on full-time vacation, even nights and weekends when you walk into Walmart. You're still the county assessor, so if someone asks you a question, it's not like you can just walk away. You still have to answer that question because people need to know, and they like to know.
Well, and we occasionally like the some service out of our public servants, or at least that's how
right.
We like to think of you anyway. I know technically you're an elected official, but you're there at least in part to serve the public. Todd, before we could talk a little bit about the assessor's office, take this pause just a little bit to see where we are in county government overall. A recent primary election, a re-election in the primary for at least a county commissioner for District 3 because, well, there is no opposition for the November general election, so Mike got reelected for another couple of years.
Yeah, we want to congratulate Commissioner Dunlap. He is our District 3 county commissioner, and he has been reelected for another four-year term. It's kind of strange the way the county offices are staggered, our terms are staggered. Four of us are up for election during a gubernatorial election year, and then the other four elected officials are up during the presidential candidate year or election year. And so every 2 years, you know, someone in the county office has an election to face. And so this year, the two commissioners that were facing opponents were Commissioner Mike Dunlap, who's District 3 commissioner, and then District 1 county commissioner Mitch Antle. He didn't face an opponent in this past primary in June, but he will have an opponent in the November general election, and so he's still working on his campaign, or we will be starting it up here in just a few months. The other county commissioner, which is Mike Bouvier from District 2, his is the staggered year, so he is up for re-election in the year 2020.
And while not technically a county official, there is the district judge race for Washington and Nawata counties, and of course that is going to the runoff. The runoff will be in November because it's a nonpartisan election.
Yeah, normally runoffs are held in August, but like you said, since it's nonpartisan, they will do that in November, and then the winner then is decided at that time. So they have a few more months to get ready. I know there's a lot of statewide elected officials that have runoffs coming up next month, and so a short turnaround from that June primary election to have to get ready to go again here in a month or so.
Yeah, I just confirmed yesterday, we'll make it public, that I know that the GOP will host a forum August 22nd at Arvest Bank for candidates for governor and also for the District 1 congressional seat on that runoff to be held in the August 28th runoff. So we'll hear more about those, one congressional race and one statewide race on August 22nd. And also, we have a retiring sheriff. He will retire in November, or in December, rather.
Yes, Sheriff Silver, who has served us since Pat Ballard retired several years ago. Sheriff Silver is going to be retiring at the end of this calendar year, and so his term will be unfulfilled, and there will be either an appointment or an election to fulfill his post. And so we will have a new sheriff coming in, and then it's strange as it may seem, Charlie, because you and I remember the days when I was there at the radio station with you. I will be the second oldest as far as tenure goes, as far as elected officials go in Washington County. Right now, our county clerk, Marjorie Parrish, has been at her position longer than I have, but I've now been Washington County Assessor since the year 2001, so this is my 17th full year as County Assessor, and it just seems like only yesterday that I was starting in this position.
It does seem that. I can remember you as, the news director here at K1, and then you took a public relations job with the sheriff's office before becoming the assessor for the county.
Yeah, and it just, like I said, it seems just like a few short years ago, but of course, I look back and see my kids who were just, you know, young, and I actually had a baby on the way then, and now that baby is a junior in high school, and he'll be starting his senior year here in just a month or so at Bartlesville High School. It just... Time gets away from you.
Yeah, time does. And yet, the job at the assessor's office is more one of those continuous jobs. Yes, you have certain deadlines throughout the year, but it's a continual process doing the assessor's job, because property is always being bought and sold, and that updates values on the county rolls and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a never-ending process. You hate to look at it that way, but it's a cycle that just continues and starts anew every January. And you and I usually talk in January, because that's our the start of our homestead filing period, and really it's when things start firing up for the new year, and it gets a little hectic in January. You hate to say that this is the point of the year we can take a little bit of a breather, but it is. And what I thought I might do is maybe walk through the process of what we do starting in January and then ending at the end of the calendar year, so that our listeners kind of know what the process is, because it is a you hate to say it, but a never-ending process, because we continue to update property information really on a daily basis. We start January 1st. We take homestead exemptions, veteran 100% disabled veteran exemptions, any kind of caps or freezes that people are eligible for. We do those at the beginning of the year, and that homestead filing period ends the 15th of March every year. And so we have about 2.5 months that we're taking all of those assessments. We, in the meantime, during those 2.5 months, go to all the rural communities, to Vera, Oshaleda, Ramona, Copan, and Dewey, so that taxpayers in those smaller communities do not have to come into Bartlesville to the county courthouse to file. And it's kind of a service that we do. And really, it goes back to the history of the state of Oklahoma. When we became a state in 1907, it was not as easy to drive into Bartlesville as it is now. You had to get in a horse and wagon or get on your horse and ride into the county seat to file. And so they made that a convenience for some of the rural residents of each county. It has stayed in play over the years, and so we still continue to do that, although instead of taking a half a day to get to your county seat, you can now get to your county seat probably in just a few minutes. So times have changed, but that statute provision is still there, and we do go do that in the spring to help out our taxpayers.
Comparatively,
we do appreciate all the help you give us getting the word out during the spring.
Well, it's always nice to get the information out there. Comparatively speaking, it probably now takes you longer to set up that mobile office in, I don't care, Copan or Vera, than it does actually to drive there.
You're right. It takes a few minutes to do that, and we still can do things rather quickly, but you're right. The drive time is really the longest part of the day, and it's really not too bad. The furthest drive I believe that we have is to Vera, and you can get down to Vera and back in less than an hour, actually down there, and get set up in about 30 to 40 minutes, so not too bad. Once we get through that filing period in March, Charlie, the next step that we do is we start doing all of our notices. We mail out any notice of change in value when we increase property value. So if you had a house that was worth $90,000 last year and we increased it to $100,000 this year, you're going to get a change in value notice from the county assessor's office. And that kind of starts the window where if you feel that maybe our valuation is too high, it gives you the opportunity as a taxpayer to protest that value. And so usually in March, April, and May, we're doing our protests with taxpayers and other entities that feel that their valuation from the county assessor might be too high. Normally, we'll get those on commercial properties. Very, very seldom. Well, I wouldn't say very seldom. Sometimes we do receive them on residential properties, but more than often, it's on commercial properties, because those values fluctuate wildly just depending on what the market's doing. So,
sure.
Real estate market's a lot easier to follow. You can see what houses are doing in certain neighborhoods very easily. But commercial property, depending on who the potential buyers are out there and what's available, that market can be a little more volatile. And so we do see quite a few protests on commercial properties in the spring. We try to get all those handled by the end of May, because then the next step is to get our abstract into the state of Oklahoma by the 15th of June. And so just, less than 3 weeks ago, we just finished up sending that state abstract evaluation into the Oklahoma Tax Commission in Oklahoma City.
When it comes to the valuing residential property, it's not a direct correlation between what most people would say the selling price of their house is and the official assessed valuation of the house, is because you don't necessarily work on market conditions, but you do take the market into account to a certain extent.
That's our goal, is to value every property at its current market value, but in a lot of cases, because there are caps in play, the taxable value that we have at the assessor's office may be several thousand dollars below market value. And a good example of that would be, say, a couple has been at their current residence for 25 years, and they bought that for $75,000 25 years ago. Well, the fact is, the market may be showing that property is now worth $125,000 or even more. Probably in 25 years' time, it's probably worth even more than that now. But because there are caps in place in Oklahoma, we can only increase a property's value 5% from one year to the next, and only 3% on homesteaded properties. So if they filed homestead on their property, their taxable value may be only going up 3% a year, which is great because it protects the homeowner and the taxpayer from a larger increase than they really can afford to handle, and it keeps that cap at, you know, that increase at 3%. But the reality is, we can increase the market value to whatever the current market shows. We can bump it to 125 or whatever it may be, but they may be taxed only on a percentage of that because they do have a cap in place. Now, if they sell the property or if it's conveyed from owner A to owner B, then the cap comes off and it goes to full market value the following tax year.
And that's based on either the price paid or market value determined by some other source, right?
Absolutely, that is correct.
Yeah. So roughly half through the year. I know the work doesn't stop at the assessor's office. What else is the second 6 months of the year?
The next step is to, now that we've already turned in our evaluation to the state, and keep in mind that we at the assessor's office value the real property and personal property only. The state values all the public service values, which would be, Oklahoma Natural Gas, public PSO, cellular phone companies. Those are all valued by the Oklahoma Tax Commission, and they're in the process of finishing those up here in the month of July. Towards the end of this month, they will send us certificates of value that show what each of those companies are worth in our particular counties. For example, AT&T, they have assets all across the state of Oklahoma, probably in all 77 counties, and their overall valuation is X amount of millions of dollars. But the portion that's allotted to Washington County may only be $200,000 or whatever it may be. So they will send that valuation to each of the local county assessor's offices. We will set those public service values up, and then we will compile a notice or a report that goes to the local excise board, and it's just called the excise report. And it basically says, okay, now based on the real property and the personal property that we've assessed here at the local county assessor's office, plus the state public service values, here's what each school district can expect in the way of net assessed valuation for this current school year. Once we get that excise report published, each of the schools then can start working on their budgets to know how much money, based on that current valuation in their school district, they have to get by. And so in light of all the things that have happened this year with the schools, there may be a little bit of a shift this year. We really don't know until, you know, the time comes, but we may see a little bit of a change in the school millage rates for the coming school year. Mm-hmm. So we work together with those schools. We work together with the finance directors at each of those school districts to come up with those values, and then the schools know how much at that point to fund their school year. So that's really the next step, and then the last step is to compile all of the available taxes and send that tax roll to the county treasurer. And then in November, the treasurer will send out tax bills based on those new millage rates that the school districts do come up with. So it's a long process. There's a lot of steps in it, and I'm kind of giving you the Cliff Notes version. There's a lot more that really goes into it on a day-to-day basis, but I have a feeling that the actual ins and outs of it would probably bore the average listener, and I don't want to do that.
Exactly. I know that if we'll stay with the large wheels in government and leave the small wheels to turn for themselves.
We're the cogs, that's right.
There you go. We'll continue with County Assessor Todd Mathis coming up in just a minute.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And again, spending a little bit of time this morning talking with County Assessor Todd Mathis about how the Assessor's Office and county government work in that respect. Todd, property value also can change because a homeowner, let's say, does a room addition, or we'll just call it a bump out on one side of the house, making things a little bit larger, and you get notified of that, I guess, first through the building permit that's filed on that structure, right?
That is correct, and the right now in Washington County, the City of Bartlesville and City of Dewey both have the permit process. If you build in the rural areas, there's no requirements to report those, and so some of that is either self-discovery or self-reporting by the taxpayer. By the law, you are required to report any increase in your property valuation or any increase that you've added. And like you said, if someone builds a room addition or a swimming pool or a barn, they're required to report that to us. But you know, we have almost 31,000 parcels in Washington County, and of those, a little over 22,000 are residential. We have about 2,000 commercial properties, and then 4,000 that are rural or agricultural in nature. The rest then are exempt properties owned by, you know, cities, towns, schools, or tax exempt entities. So, the fact is, when you're dealing with almost 31,000 parcels, there's no way without constant communication with the taxpayers themselves, there's no way that we can see every subtle change or every slight change on every property in the county. So we do rely on taxpayers to let us know. And the reason we do that is because if they self-report that they built a shed in the backyard in 2018, it'll go on the 2019 tax roll and you won't see much of a change. However, if you build it this year, don't tell us, and we find out 3 or 4 years later, it's possible that there could be some back taxes owed, and we don't want any of our taxpayers to have to deal with that back tax process, because sometimes there may be some late fees or penalties or things like that involved, and it's just best to get it reported, turned in, and get it assessed that first year so there's no problem.
Yeah, and otherwise it's discovered by the overflight, and that's not done in the rural areas for, you know, I forget how many years, but it's not an every year process.
So. No, we fly every 3 years, and we just flew Washington County January of this year, so we have brand new aerial images. They're beautiful. We do appreciate the company that we work with to get that done, and we'll have them flown again probably in 3 years, so the year 2021, which used to seem so far in the future, but it's right ahead of us now.
It sure is. Todd, thank you so much for your time this morning, kind of giving us an overview of how the Assessor's Office can affect our life and make sure that, the school districts and other taxing bodies have accurate information so that they can expect the appropriate amount of money. Todd, thank you
Absolutely.
So much for your time, and I know it's an official day off for you, but if you get a call from the office or from the radio station, why, you always respond. Thank you very much.
Well, I will say this. I know it's 2 days late, but I want to wish all the listeners out there a happy late 4th of July. I hope your holiday was a pleasant one and you got to spend time with friends and family.
Parade in Oshaleta, fireworks in Copan on Saturday. Todd, thank you very much. And that's a Community Connection on 1400 K1. News on the way next from the ONN.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey.